I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. This is, from 9 to 11 o'clock, a safe space for independent thinkers. You want to hear something a little bit different? You're tuning into the right place. You know, I am usually a little bit on an island, but I found myself with a majority of people on an issue yesterday. We'll talk about it in a little bit. So there's something to be said for that. Kind of nice to not be so lonely. Today is Wednesday. Next hour, we will continue, even in light of all the big news that we'll get to in the first hour, we will stay true to our hump day health, natural health news you can use next hour from 10 to 11 o'clock. I would give you my quotes of the day that will certainly lead us into the news. Free elections of masters does not abolish the masters or the slaves. That was Herbert Marcuse. Larkin Rose, quote from Larkin Rose, says, politics, the art of using euphemisms, lies, emotionalism, and fear-mongering and to dupe average people into accepting or even demanding their own enslavement. I'm really lighting things up on a positive note, aren't I? And then I want to remind people of this. I've done this often during this campaign season, and we're not done yet, apparently. Ugh. This was George Washington. Pretty popular president, particularly for us conservatives out there. Hold him in some high regard. George Washington warned us about days like yesterday and today and the last 4 years and every year before that for many people. He said, this is George Washington, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. Oh, we've ignored George Washington. He doesn't understand the Democrats today. And John Adams, another one of our founding fathers, again, held in pretty high esteem on the conservative side of things. We're big fans of the founding documents, right? The great experiment that is the United States. This is what John Adams wrote in a letter to Jonathan Jackson, October 2nd of 1780, he said, John Adams, founding father, said, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are, excuse me, I went back to George Washington again. I don't want John Adams to plagiarize George Washington. John Adams said, there is nothing which I dread so much as a division of the republic into two great parties, each arranged under its leader and concerting measures in opposition to each other. This, in my humble apprehension, is to be dreaded as the greatest political evil under our Constitution. And the reason that he said that on October 2nd of 1780 is because he knew we would devolve into this fractured country that we see right now, ungovernable as it currently stands, because people are so horribly divided. Anyway, I just say that. I may be out on my island, but I've got the founding fathers on the island with me, so... So I watched with great interest till about, as probably many people did. I'm exhausted. This is one of those things, I think I was up till about 3 o'clock in the morning watching this thing, and you don't exactly drift off to sleep after watching an election like yesterday. But one of the first things I thought when I saw Trump come out, realize this thing's going to the courts, realize it's still kind of a nail-biter, realize that the crap sandwich that is 2020 just slid off the plate and fell on our new shoes. So we've got one more thing to deal with this year. I am going to start, though. I'll start with my bright spot, the bright light in Mississippi from yesterday, as far as I'm concerned, and that was the overwhelming passage of the medical marijuana bill. Now, many people may be against it. And I want this, Jim Thorne is against it, and I am for it. And so you know what we did before I came on air? We had a conversation about it. And we ended up laughing a little bit about it. He's not happy that it passed. I'm very happy that it passed. You know what I didn't do? I didn't call him a name. He didn't punch me in the face. We disagree on a topic, and I would never say a crossword. Jim Thorne's one of the nicest human beings I think I've ever encountered in my 53 years on planet Earth. I'm not mad at him that he disagrees with me. I've tried to engage him on a couple things. I think I sent him a video. I don't even know if he watched it. I just threw something out there to say, hey, if you're not for this, this is why I'm for it. You might want to check this out. It was a man with Parkinson's who was essentially got his life back through the use of medical marijuana. But it didn't sway Jim. That's okay. See, this is how normal human beings operate. Anybody out there that voted no on medical marijuana, I'm not mad at you in the slightest bit. I hope that it works out and you see some people maybe that you know and love get some relief. And maybe you'll come on board. But I'm not mad at you. And if you voted for 65A, the politician's attempt to sabotage this, I'm not even mad at you for that. Now, the funny thing is, a lot of people are mad at me. I've seen comments and things like that. I mean, not necessarily me specifically, but the opponents, you lash out, you're really mad at the person. I'm not mad at anybody for it. Now, let me tell you where my anger is directed. I do have some anger, but I have some bitterness about the entire issue. But it's not for a single voter out there. It is for the politicians that tried to put a stick in the spokes of something that people wanted to do. Again, the legislature had about 20 shots at a medical marijuana bill, and they whiffed every time. You know why? Because they never intended to pass it. Do you know why we still have Obamacare on the national level? Do you think it's just an accident that even through the last 10 years of the Republicans gaining complete control now and then, that they just didn't get around to getting rid of Obamacare? Do you think that's an accident? Do you think that they were incapable of it? No. There are interests, and I would imagine is the health insurance industry that has really cashed in on Obamacare, has let the Republicans know, you can talk about getting rid of it and stuff, but when push comes to shove, you better make sure you've got a bill that really fattens our wallets or you're not getting rid of that thing. That's why Obamacare is still the law of the land. And it is the same with this medical marijuana thing. The opposition, the 65, so here's where my anger, my frustration, my bitterness goes. It's not to any voter. If you voted no, I respect your choice. We have a difference of opinion. We can talk about it over a cup of coffee, and then we'll tell some jokes and talk about our kids if you want to. That's the way normal human beings operate. But for the politicians, for these politicians, let me explain to you the way this thing went down when 65 was being drafted. And again, you could be for or against it, but I want to explain the nastiness of politicians and why I have such utter contempt for them, not for my fellow citizens who vote a different way than me. My job with them is to try to use logic, try to bring them over to my side. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today because, Republicans, you got some work to do. Screaming at people, calling them retards, it's not working. You need to, if you want to see a free country going forward, laughing about liberal tears and wanting to see liberal heads explode, that's not going to get you there. That emboldens them. We'll talk more about it. There was no blue wave yesterday, and we can all breathe a collective sigh of relief, although we don't know where the presidency goes. The Congress is pretty much status quo, and it looks like the Republicans are picking up things. But if you want a free country, you want to defend your Second Amendment, you want to do these things? You need to do some convincing, not so much name-calling and so much trolling, but maybe some convincing of your fellow citizens. If you've got anger, you should direct it up, like I'm about to on 65 and 65A. See, these politicians in Mississippi were consulted when 65 was put together. They all pretty much were consulted because nobody wanted to see opposition to this. The people, the very professional, very conservative, very Christian people that put the medical marijuana bill together, didn't want a controversial bill. They're not a bunch of burner hippies sitting in a van somewhere trying to get weed legalized in Mississippi. They wanted a professional, conservative, faith-based, compassionate bill. And so they went to all these politicians and they said, hey, what do you think about this? How do we put this together? They went to the medical association. They consulted with doctors and pastors and law enforcement. They tried to bring everybody to the table. So this was a non-controversial measure in 65. And all of these politicians, they said, okay, well, if you're going to do it, go ahead and try. And what they were really saying is, yeah, good luck getting the signatures. We've made it so hard to get the signatures. It'll never work. But they had their chance to weigh in on the front end of it. And then when they were shocked that the Mississippi people rose up after they had whiffed 20 times on a medical marijuana bill, they said, uh-oh, whatever donor class it is that was opposing medical marijuana told them, you get out there and you sabotage this bill. And that's why they betrayed their word. They said they weren't going to offer an alternative amendment because everybody was given such an opportunity to weigh in on 65 originally. They said, we're not going to give an alternative amendment and try to screw it up. They said that before the thing. And then they went back on their word because they're scumbag politicians. Now, my job, because again, this is where my anger is directed, it's at the political class. It's at the politicians. It's not at the no voter. If you voted no, God love you. You had your reasons. I've got my reasons for supporting it. We can still be friends. I'm not mad at you, but the politicians. So my job now is to do what Mike Madison does here on this show, and I'm going to try to figure out the money that was behind it. Now, a lot of this money swayed you. Hell, there's a whole radio station that covers the whole state that I refer to as WGOP that is just basically a Republican-sponsored, state-funded propaganda machine for the establishment Republicans. And they went all in, some of them actually changing their minds suddenly in the last couple of months. The bill never changed. They supported it before, but now suddenly they're against it. Again, the bill didn't change. 65 never changed. But something came in, and I'm scratching my chin here and wondering, I wonder, maybe there was some money involved? And that's my job now, is to try to figure out what was behind the organized opposition to 65. Now, if you voted no to 65, I don't consider you organized, corrupt opposition. You just didn't want it. That's fine with me. I have absolutely no problems with you whatsoever. I'll explain to you. If you want to sit down for a cup of coffee, I'll tell you why I think it's a good thing for the people in Mississippi that need access to medical marijuana. But that's okay. We can have that conversation. But for the corrupt people, the people that took their stance based on some level of power or, yeah, it's going to be money. Money is the real reason. What I love is people like Delbert Hoseman or Thomas Dobbs or these people that come out acting, you know, they take this position. They're just some fine conservative Christians that just have a moral objection to this. No, they're not. They're gaslighting you if that's what you think. There was something behind this, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. Anyway, I think it's a bright spot. It was an overwhelming victory for 65. Which just says whether you're for it or against it. And I need to kind of stop apologizing. So many people were for it. I mean, it was 2/3 of the people were for it. But even if you're against it, just understand that at least in this case, the people of Mississippi told the politicians to sit down and shut up. And they told them that particularly on 65A, where the politicians tried to come in and fearmonger. I'm going to read some quotes here real quick. Let's see who it was. I don't know they did themselves a real big favor bringing Thomas Dobbs in. In a conservative state right now that has had to suffer through his lockdowns and mask mandates and the rest of his hysteria around COVID, maybe not your best spokesman for anti-65, but Dobbs said, it will be out of our control to change. Yeah, see, they don't want to give up that control. And let me tell you why, because there's all kinds of things you can stick in a bill like that and make sure that your industry buddies get in and profit from this thing. When 65 does not make allowances for any particular group to benefit, a lot of Mississippians are going to get involved in a new industry here. It's going to create jobs. But they want to make sure that they can control it. Dobbs said he is concerned Initiative 65 could take his office away from dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. Really? Well, thank God for that. Please stop dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, you hysterical hypochondriac Thomas Dobbs. You are in charge of health department in a state that has got a diabetes time bomb going off in it. People are dying every day in this state from diabetes, and it is like an epidemic in this state. Maybe you should take your focus off of the coronavirus for, I don't know, a couple of days. Jim Perry said, he's with the Mississippi Board of Health member, he said, this is just not the right way. This is Jim Perry. He's not a doctor. He's somehow on the Mississippi Board of Health, but as I understand it, I believe he's an attorney. Perry claimed Initiative 65 would lead to one of the most liberal medical marijuana programs in the country. Let me explain to you what that means in that context. See, he chose his words carefully to try to bash this thing. You know, are you familiar with the term classic liberalism? You know what liberal means in that context? It means freedom-based. Now, I know a lot of these political terms have been bastardized, and liberal now is some left-wing snowflake crybaby communist. But that's, the meaning of liberal is rooted in the idea of liberty. Liberty, freedom. The classic liberal is somebody for personal freedom in a country that's supposed to be the most free on planet Earth. He says liberal like it's some Democrat-run program. I assure you, it is not. Anyway, I'll take my bright shining moment from yesterday, not that it has anything to do with me personally, but just to see the people of Mississippi resoundingly tell a bunch of corrupt politicians to sit down and shut up. You had your chance to do this. Quit whining about it. Quit telling us you're going to do it this next time. If you can just sabotage this one thing that people went to great effort and great expense to get on the ballot because you wouldn't act. But you promised this time, if we just sabotage this one time, you'll definitely get it to it next time. And it was overwhelming. So that's a good news. It's good for the people and for you no voters or 65A voters. I'm not mad at you. Hopefully you'll see that this works out very well. It's working quite well and benefiting people across the country. I believe in natural health and I believe in freedom. And Mississippians got a little bit freer yesterday. That's always a good thing. We'll talk about the national elections when we come back. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
I've only got a couple minutes before my next break, so I'm just going to get into this for a moment, and then we'll get back into actually the elections. And if you want to call in, 601-879-0002. I try to give people on this show something to think about. And it's outside of mainstream conservative Republican talk radio largely. But this is for every single person out there. I think we've become kind of mentally sick in this country. And we'll talk about what's going on in the elections after a while, but looks like we're headed to the courts. This country has just become too big to rule from Washington, D.C., and we should see that. These are the chaos that precedes basically the fall of an empire type thing. But the anger out there, I guess I'm going to read it's kind of a quote. This was Daisy Luther wrote this on the Organic Prepper log. She's organic. That's good for me. Little hippie for some people, but she's a prepper too, so she should appeal to everybody. And she really echoes a sentiment that I have, because I see a serious wave of hostility coming this way if we end up in the courts. What she wrote was, what I don't understand is how people can allow politicians, people who are in it for power, not for you and me, to divide them from the people they once loved. How can you look at your son, daughter, parent, cousin, or friend and say, quote, you voted for X and therefore I no longer love you? How can you put this politician and what he or she stands for ahead of your own people? Do you think these politicians care about you enough to divide their own families? To disinvite someone to Christmas dinner? To unfriend somebody on social media? And in real life, of course not. All they want is your vote. They want your verbal support. They don't give a tinker's damn whether or not your family is destroyed because of them and their causes. And I would just implore people, again, I've got a great deal of anger on the show. You can hear it. A lot of what I believe is some righteous indignation towards the political class, to the donor class, to the people pulling the strings, to the people that have got us here. But it's not my neighbor who might have voted for Joe Biden. I'm not mad at anybody who voted against my position on medical marijuana. I'm not mad at them. My job with them is to engage them, ask them some questions, give them some, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? This is a hearts and minds thing. People need to start. If you are a conservative out there and if you believe that a lot of your rights are in jeopardy, as I do, the left has turned full-on authoritarian. And you need to go to those people on the left that may have voted for Joe Biden that don't like Donald Trump. And instead of trying to convince them that Trump is actually Jesus Christ himself and the most perfect human being ever put into the presidency, because that's a tough sell, you might just try to explain to them what the Democrats will do. Have you thought about, you know, whether or not you want X, Y, or Z? Do you know what Medicare for All would cost? Do you know the Green New Deal? You know, the private industry, if green energy is efficient and good, I mean, you know, private enterprise will capitalize on that. And someday we may make the transition. But do you know what a government, I mean, you know what I mean? Make some points. Because what we didn't see, I mean, the good news about yesterday is there was no blue wave. That was hard for me to believe. And yes, polling was wrong in a lot of places. So the Republicans look, they'll keep the Senate, and looks like they made some strides in the House. But boy, shouldn't it have been a bigger victory than that? You would really think in today's climate that there are enough sane people out there that can see the riots, can see Antifa, can see some of the more radical things on the left. But the problem is that both parties make it so difficult to come to their side because you're so busy trolling them. You're so busy making fun of them. You're so busy telling them you want to see them cry or you want to punch them in the face. Punch a Nazi in the face. All Trump supporters are Nazis, and we should be allowed to just punch them in the face. Yeah, that's a real compelling argument to bring more people to your side. So what I don't get is if people want to win something, then you need to convince more people to come to your side instead of demonizing your neighbors and your cousins and everything else as some kind of existential threat to you and your family because they just disagree with you. Now, granted, a lot of left-wing people voting for very left-wing people could bring more socialism into this country. It's already here. I mean, we're already going socialist. We've been going more socialist over the last 4 years with the presidency and the Senate on the Republican side. It's still happening. But if you want to stop it, I'll make my case here. You can make your case with your liberal friends, but the idea of just washing yourself in liberal tears and making fun of how Trump lives in your head 24/7 rent-free, all you do is solidify them to vote harder left next time. Because it makes it harder for them to realize maybe they were wrong about something. Maybe they hadn't considered something. Have you ever had somebody win an argument with you by calling you names, by making fun of you, by trolling you? Does that make you real receptive to their ideas? And I'm just telling you, I want to see a more freedom-based, small, limited government and more conservative than liberal in this country. And the way you do that is you get some of the things. You can't get to everybody on the left. There's some people that have legit gone insane. But I know some good, normal people who do not like Donald Trump. I spoke to one of them yesterday. But she's not a fan of the Democrats anymore since I got a hold of her about 9 months ago and started talking about this. Well, about 18 months. I didn't make fun of her. You're a Democrat? Oh, my God. Are you retarded? That's not what I said. I said, you know, I brought up taxes. She makes a good living. She said, oh, yeah, I don't like those. I said, well, what about all this global warming stuff? She said, oh, yeah, that's a, you know, I just kind of asked her a bunch of questions. And then at the end of several questions, I said, well, I'm not quite sure why you're a Democrat. She'd been a Democrat her whole life. She's more libertarian now than she was. She's not a big fan of the Democratic Party. She still doesn't like Trump. See, I don't have to drag her to love Trump because that's not my job. I understand Trump's personality is off-putting, so I don't have to do the heavy work of trying to make her worship at the altar of Donald Trump and admit how infallible he is. No, I just tried to deprogram her from decades of Democrat propaganda. Point out the corruption. I've talked a lot with her about the money in the Democratic Party and Chuck Schumer being a darling of Wall Street and Barack Obama appointing his cabinet from Citigroup. That's how I attack it. Not by calling her an idiot. But if you want to see this country return to any conservative values in a big way, you might consider, instead of bathing in liberal tears, engaging a liberal kindly. And I guarantee you'd have more success. The reason there wasn't a red wave yesterday is because of the style. Donald Trump's style. He hadn't done anything to really tick off the left. I talked to this girl yesterday about that. I said, what has Donald Trump done? And we went through a bunch of stuff, and she really couldn't name anything that he's done that would make her mad. She just doesn't like him. And I get that. He's not my kind of guy either. But she's also not a Kool-Aid drinking Democrat anymore. That's one small example. But if everybody got a hold of one, adopt a liberal. Maybe we should start a program. Adopt a liberal. Start to deprogram them. Educate them. Economics is a great place to start, particularly if they make some money. And it's strange. It is really weird. A lot of people out there make a decent living yet still vote Democrat. So maybe start with some economic stuff. Expose some of the corruption on the Democrats. And then here's what you also have to do. You have to admit the Republicans have some corruption too. But I'll tell you what, yesterday should have been a red wave. With the way the left has exposed itself, with the way that Joe Biden is mentally handicapped, almost 80-year-old man with serious corruption issues, it should have been a red wave. And I'll tell you right now why it wasn't. Because of all the trolling made the left dig in. Oh, there's a committed part of the left. Probably that 10 to 20% of just radicalized left. You're not going to reach them. Don't start with them. It's like working out. Lift light first. Find some of your independent friends who just don't like Donald Trump and convince them, well, yeah, he may not be great. I understand you don't like his personality, but do you really want higher taxes? Do you really want universal? You know, I mean, you know, all of these kinds of things. It's easy to pick them apart. Find yourself a thinking Democrat. Work on them first. Bring them over. And then that maybe it bleeds into something. That 10 to 20% of really radical leftists, probably pretty big lift for you. I wouldn't start there. But I'm just telling you. Both parties, neither one of you doing it right. And I could certainly advise the left, too. Not because I want to see them succeed, but it's kind of like a political consultant, you could say. As I said yesterday, to you people on the left, you Democrats, all you had to do was find a normal person that wasn't mentally incapable of being president and wasn't rife with corruption. That's all you had to do. And wasn't a radical leftist socialist. And you won yesterday, handily. But you just didn't do that. And for the Republicans, I tell you, you need to show a little bit of a softer side. Try to be accepting of some people. Move them over. Trump moved some Democrats over. There's no doubt about it. The black community has gotten more interesting as a voting bloc, more open, more diverse in their thinking. Hispanics is group two. It appears the Southwest Hispanics are not big Trump fans, but the Cuban Americans are big Trump fans. So there's some interesting things there. But people better start engaging people rather than trolling them, making fun of them, wanting to see them suffer, wanting to see other human beings that you really know nothing about, what they've traveled through in their life, what they're truly like. You want to see them suffer. And this is both sides should be ashamed of yourselves. And it's so funny because I know a lot of people who are really pretty Christian people. They want to see people suffer. Want to see you cry. Want to see you scream at the moon. And it doesn't. It's both sides. Absolutely both sides. Good, normal people on a normal day, until you inject politics and suddenly they become bloodthirsty gladiators wanting to put the other person on their back and stick a sword in their heart to just show them that they're right. This isn't a Christian nation. I'm telling you, this is death throes of an empire. But if you want to change this going forward, I would encourage an awful lot of people to start engaging people on the left. It's not hard to break apart the ideas of the left. They're not good ideas, and they're not working. You can see it all over the country. Democrat governors, Democrat mayors, it's not working. It's not a heavy lift to convince a thinking Democrat. And there are some out there. I know people. Nobody wants to admit it. I hate all Democrats. Anybody that's a Democrat's an idiot. That's quite simply not true. You ought to approach some of those people as a normal human being and engage them and win them to your side if you want to keep the country, if you want to keep your freedoms. You can try to push your way through the door, but it would be nice if you just knocked on the door and started engaging people. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, trying to stake out a kinder, gentler, more effective way to more conservative, liberty-based country. You tried your trolling. It's just not working. In the face of what the left is right now, yesterday should have been a red wave of people that just are looking at that insanity. Anyway, believe me, I know I'm on an island with this. Everybody's loaded for bear. This thing is heading to court. Well, let me say this on another positive note. I don't know if anybody's happy, ambivalent. I didn't get a lot of passion about the new flag one way or another, but we do have a new flag now in the state of Mississippi, and so we want to tell you where to go get it. These are just great people. Please, if you're going to get a new Mississippi flag, go to a complete flag source. They're right there on the frontage road of I-55. It's 5295 I-55 North in Jackson. You can visit them at CompleteFlags.com. They've got the new flag. They're ready and raring to go. I think my favorite thing about the fact that a flag was changed, not really weighing in on the issue of it, but it will benefit some business owners here, and particularly Complete Flag Source in Jackson, is Jim and Brenda McIntyre over there. They are some of the nicest people you ever met. Go buy a flag. You'll probably get a nice conversation and certainly a very friendly experience. They're just fantastic people. So it's a Complete Flag Source. You can call them 601-362-9333, or you can email them sales@CompleteFlags, or their website is CompleteFlags.com. So if you're looking to get a new Mississippi flag to fly, or any kind of flag to fly, please consider using them. I'm telling you, they're just wonderful, wonderful people. I love people that I can speak highly of with all earnesty that are also sponsors of the show. They've done a lot for the radio station. They've done a lot for their community, and they're just wonderful people. So please, Complete Flags. They're at I-55 Frontage Road. You want to call in 601-879-0002. I know we're now embarking on the they stole it thing, and look, the possibility exists. I don't know if we'll get an investigation of this, if Trump will be able to stop this in the courts. I went on a roller coaster last night really thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, Trump's going to win this thing. I've been saying all along I thought Trump was going to win. It was more of a gut feeling than anything else. I thought both candidates were extremely weak in convincing other people to join their side. Democrats put up an absolutely horrible candidate, have behaved miserably during the year of 2020, and Donald Trump's style is fantastic with his base and is just not great at reaching out. I know he increased black votership and some Hispanic votership, and he's brought some Democrats over that are awake to this left thing. But I'm just telling you, yesterday should have been a red wave. Can you imagine campaigning against a more insane political party? I don't know that it's happened in the history of the United States that we have seen a Democrat party, an opposition party, be this insane and this violent and this oppressive with the lockdowns and things like that. What is it that didn't create a red wave yesterday? So I think there's some self-examination that needs to go on. Now, they picked up seats in the House, but you would think the House would go. I mean, we've got to deal with Nancy Pelosi for at least two more years. Are you kidding me? This woman is still in power. And I chalk it all up to style, because Nancy Pelosi, nobody's a big fan of Nancy Pelosi. As again, yesterday, where all votes were either for Trump or against Trump. I hate to see it go into the courts. I said yesterday, the one thing I didn't want to see is don't let Trump be ahead on election night and let mail-in ballots be the thing that trips him up on the days going. That will create the most hatred, hostility, the most it will lead us, if Joe Biden takes it after court challenges fail for some reason, or the ideas out there that they stole with these mail-in ballots, it will lead to the worst 4 years. The good news being Republicans picked up seats in the House. They kept the Senate. So even if Joe Biden does get in, he will be fairly neutered. He will be restrained. If you want to look for any bright spots, if Trump does lose, I'm not saying it's done. Most people I know say it's pretty much done. I still feel like Donald Trump can possibly pull this thing out. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the one not understanding the numbers. But it will be nice to see the Republicans start caring about certain things that they have not cared about for quite a while. Most importantly to me, spending and debt. That will be very nice. We also might see some anti-war stuff come out of the Republicans again, because that's the more popular position. That's a great way to win over some Democrats who still have some anti-war leanings, even though Barack Obama tried to turn all Democrats into warmongers and was successful in a lot of ways. But anyway, if Biden takes over, it's not a complete loss. But problem is, there will be no self-examination on the right, just like there's no self-examination on the left after the last 4 years. Here's another thing, too. I'll just give you this ray of hope. If something happens, if Joe Biden ends up being our president, or, oh my gosh, the first time I've said it out loud, Kamala Harris, there's a very good likelihood that we will have a pretty severe economic crisis during the next four-year term. If Donald Trump wins and is in office at that time, they are going to lay it around his neck and around the neck of capitalism. If we do have to suffer through a financial crisis, I would prefer that a Democrat is in office so that they will take the blame for it. You would have some things to go by that Donald Trump moved the needle on the economy and had record low unemployment. Now, I believe those numbers are cooked, always are, but he was better than, even using the cooked numbers, Trump had done better than Obama had. So you would be able to stick to that and say, but then Joe Biden came in and we had a financial crisis, and that may wake some people up. There may be so much misery under a Democratic administration that people wake up, and in 4 years we regain our senses and end up being a more conservative country again. So there's something. I'm trying to cling to a little bit of hope. We still don't know exactly what's going to happen. I hate that it's going to the courts. That is going to lead to some ugly weeks, possibly months. And if Joe Biden is successful, many years, or if Donald Trump's successful. We are a fractured country, and this is just further icing on that cake.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag, and now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Few minutes left in this hour before we head over to Hump Day Health next hour. I had some observations from yesterday. I was just jotting down as I was watching stuff. As soon as I thought Trump was looking good, I immediately switched over to MSNBC. I was gauging how things were going by Rachel Maddow's eyebrows. The more furled they got, the less energy she had. I was really kind of looking forward to a repeat of 2016. Again, see, I'm not mad at other fellow human beings, but people like Rachel Maddow, who spent 3 years deceiving her viewers about Russiagate and stuff like that, I don't mind seeing her get a comeuppance. I'm not going to convince her of different, because her bread is buttered. I understand why Rachel Maddow does what she does. She gets paid big dollars for it. I don't like her. I don't agree with her on anything. And so I was kind of looking forward to that meltdown on the left again, so I turned it over to MSNBC. Joy Reid, every time they went to her, she spent the whole night asking every guest, it seemed like, about voter suppression. It didn't matter what the topic was. When they kicked it over to her and there was a guest there, she said, well, what are the chances of them, well, what are we hearing about voter suppression? They're just every single time. The most stunning thing yesterday, Lindsey Graham won again. Ugh. I mean, it's good you kept the Senate seat for the Republicans, but him? I'm just not a fan. He's such a warmongering little chicken hawk. But I will tell you, he did give a nice acceptance speech. It was kind of funny. He did a little poking, and then he was very magnanimous to his challenger. But in that race, $104 million was spent against him. In the McGrath versus McConnell, Mitch McConnell kept his seat. McGrath spent $73 million to take on McConnell. So that is $177 million spent to win a couple of $180,000, $194,000 a year jobs. You want to talk about how corrupt our government is? That's the kind of thing you need to look at and just go, wait a second, why would they? It's because we've allowed Washington, D.C. to control essentially now $6 or $7 trillion that they get to hand out like candy. They steal it from us, and then they hand it out to the donor class. And so there's this big fight over these things. $104 million to win, actually in this case to lose, to Lindsey Graham. $104 million to lose a $180,000 a year job, $190,000 a year job. This is just a flashing red honking horn light that says our politics are so corrupt. As I said earlier, the black vote was much more interesting this time around. I'll be interested to see what Trump gets in the black vote by the time this thing is all said and done, regardless of which way the issue goes. I think the black community is certainly waking up. And this is what I'm talking about, approaching people and making the case to people. Black community is waking up. Democratic Party hadn't done anything for the black community. And Donald Trump hasn't done anything to hurt the black community. He's not a racist. And some of those people came over and they said, hey, he's not a racist. They're trying to paint him as a racist. We don't see him as a racist. There'd probably be more black people coming over if we didn't call them a bunch of names and tell them that they have to worship Donald Trump. Just, there's no reason the black community shouldn't be as concerned. The black people community has been screwed over by the government for quite a while. You would think you could turn them against the government, but for some reason they've stayed. Hispanics the same way. One of the most interesting things I saw yesterday, I watched Fox for a good portion of the evening, and one of my favorite Fox anchors is Martha McCallum. She's pretty objective. She probably tilts a little conservative. She's on Fox, but she's pretty objective. Seems pretty smart. But if I can be shallow with you for just a moment, she's knockout gorgeous. And I was actually curious, don't want to sound like a fanboy or something, but I was curious. She's been on the air for a while, so I looked her up. I was curious how old she was. I think she's 56 or 57 years old. She looks like she's 32 years old. I think she's a beautiful woman. It's something about her eyes, very sparkly eyes, and I like somebody when they smile, their eyes almost close. Okay, so that's my thing. But I've always thought she was a very beautiful woman. And when I found out she was 56, 57 years old right now, and I tell you, you look at her, she looks like she's 32. I probably need to try to get her on my health show to find out what the key to her longevity is. Anyway, those are my observations. Back in a minute. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock. We break out of most of politics. Health and politics have been pretty intertwined in 2020, but we get into something that I think is useful and empowering, and I think we all need some positive messages in our life right now. As a matter of fact, I did find this. I anticipated today some level of stress relief being needed. I didn't know really which way it was going to be needed, but we've all lived through a very long campaign season. Unfortunately, we're still in it. So if we can just take a break, I found this to be soothing. And I'll tell you what it is, which is interesting. This is 8 hours. 8 hours of relaxing music that you should play for your guinea pigs. And this is an actual YouTube video that's out there. It was one of the first things that popped up when I looked for relaxing or anti-anxiety tones or something along those lines. The thing has 1.3 million views, I guess now mine included. I guess there are a lot of very stressed out guinea pigs out there that have needed relief, and I've just given them to you. I believe sometimes the American people, particularly comes to the medical system, we are also guinea pigs. I want to start off this show by kind of putting a bookend on the medical marijuana issue. I'm thrilled to death that it passed. For those of you that might be against it, just know this. There are, I would imagine, a lot of Mississippians out there that cried last night in relief. Medical marijuana will help a lot of people. Will it be a perfect program and there will never be any problems with it ever, ever, ever? No, I don't believe that for a second. The state of Mississippi handles all alcohol sales here. It's a weird system. I've been in other states and run bars and restaurants in other states, and you have a whole lot more freedom here. The state of Mississippi really tightly controls all the movement of liquor. If you got a liquor store, you got to order it from the state. You got a restaurant, you got to go through the state. If they don't have it, tough noogies. They're going to control everything. And we still have problems with alcohol in this state. But we accept those as part of a free society. We say people have the right to have a beer after work, a gin and tonic, and we don't judge everything by that. So it may not be perfect, but there are people that I can imagine last night that just wept, realizing that they are going to have access to a medication that works for people when others do not. So even if you were against this, and I know the vast majority of people were for it, so that's a good thing. And congratulations to you for going out there and supporting it. Congratulations to you to stepping over the politicians that tried to sabotage this. The people that are in need of this medicine, this plant-based natural medicine that God put on this planet, they will have access to it sooner rather than later. Had the politicians won, it would have been never. You would have had tears of anguish from people that are truly suffering. I have met a lot of these people. In my advocacy for 65, I have traveled in circles where I have been exposed to people who need medical marijuana, not to get stoned, but to stop the tremors, to stop the seizures. And the estimates are that well over 100,000 Mississippians suffer from things that can benefit soldiers who have come home that are struggling and do not want to be on the antipsychotics and the antidepressants that make them feel like they're not themselves, but they want some relief from PTSD. There are a lot of people in Mississippi that are going to be helped genuinely. And to those of you who supported it, I think all those people would thank you tremendously. To those who opposed it, know that what's happening in Mississippi is a new step in freedom for people and will help a lot of people. Even if you're opposed, at least see that side of it and say, well, at least there may be problems. You may believe there's going to be problems with it, but at least there are going to be some very innocent people, some good Mississippians, some very fine people in this state that are going to be helped with this. And congratulations to the team. The team that put this thing together, Mississippians for Compassionate Care, is a group of loving, compassionate, conservative Christian people. This bill was not put out by a bunch of burners in a van down by the river. This was well thought out, and it's a medical plan. And I'll tell you, I just am so on the side of natural health. There's a story out right now that the Sackler family with that put opioids out there, and they changed the rules and they sold them off label and they did misleading marketing and things like that that have just wrecked. I think the opioid epidemic through something like 2015 had cost $504 billion in this country and all kinds of different medical costs and lost productivity and incarceration. And it just unleashed havoc on our society and continues to up to and including today. They're not going to jail. They've paid a fine. They have to liquidate their company. It's going to be kind of run by the government now to use the money for opioid addiction, but the problem is it's already happened. Opioids have their place. Painkillers have their place, but the way that was handled, we need alternatives, and natural alternatives to so many things are preferable. They don't have the side effects. They don't have the entrenched political interests in them. It is freedom, and it's ability to choose things that are natural for you that do not have the tremendous side effects. So I hope that people will, for or against it, realize that Mississippi took a step in helping a lot of Mississippians, regardless of what you think the outside things of that. Mississippi is a very generous state. We're known to be lowest income state in the country, but one of the most giving in terms of charity. That kind of compassion and giving should kind of extend to understanding that people. I had Angie Calhoun on the show on Monday talking about her son, and I just about teared up last night thinking about her 16-year-old son who had to become a medical refugee to Colorado because of his life was at the end as a young man. I think when he was 19, they had exhausted all medications, tried 17 different pharmaceuticals. None of them were helping, and they were making him sick, and he was losing weight, and they thought they were going to lose him. He went to Colorado and found medical marijuana. He'll be able to come home now. He wants to come home. He's got a girlfriend here. He wants to be around his family. And I can't imagine the joy that they felt watching that last night, realizing that this kid can come home and be a free American in Mississippi and address his health issues. So I hope people, for or against it, understand that a lot of Mississippians have been helped. We'll get into a few other things today. I got to tell you, with the election, I was up late last night. It was probably 11 o'clock last night before I went, oh, my gosh, I've got to get a health show together. So kind of a hodgepodge of things, but some things that are empowering to your health and some health warnings out there, too. Another new study about social media and depression that I want to highlight. It's really something, and it's not getting any better when in this contentious political time, and we've got so many societal problems right now. I am on a fatwa against social media, and I'll give you another statistic that should show you that you should be watching this very carefully with your children, too. I'll be right back. All night
with Frank King. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I made a mental note a few days ago. Make sure that your Wednesday Hump Day Health Show is about mental health, because I think we all need almost like a cleansing, like a purging. And that was when I thought maybe the election would be over today. What I think we're going to need now is to somehow find some relief. I am a proponent of meditation. Now, a lot of you big burly guys out there who are in the fight, thinking that this election is about to be stolen from Donald Trump on bogus votes, I encourage you. You don't have to tell anybody you're doing it. It's not hippy-dippy stuff, but take a few minutes, just breathe deep, let your mind relax, pay attention to your breath. So I know it sounds crazy, but what you need to do is, I've talked about this before, what got me into meditation was when it was explained to me this way. Your mind is always active. We have what they call monkey brains. Something's always worries, the past, the future, today. We're always concerned about everything, thinking about what we got to do. Our mind is just constantly racing, particularly in this society when we're barraged with so much information constantly, so much stimulus. And so your mind is always active. And someone explained it to me this way. They say if you take a glass of water and you put a little bit of dirt into it, as long as you keep that glass spinning, as long as you keep that glass agitated, it's just murky, muddy-looking water. But if you'll set the glass down for just a couple of minutes, it'll allow the dirt to all settle to the bottom and the water will be crystal clear. You'll be able to see straight through it. And that's what the mind is. Occasionally, you just need to let the mind relax and slow down, let it be kind of devoid of thoughts. And the funny thing is if you've ever tried meditation, it's difficult. It can be frustrating, and you have to actually fight the idea that it's frustrating, because then that just actually causes you stress. You have to just understand that even just a few moments, sometimes just seconds, the seconds between thoughts when you're trying to meditate or do anything, the second between thoughts where you just get your brain to power down for just a few seconds is a big success and makes a ton of difference. And the difference it made in I am the guinea pig here, much like the soothing guinea pig tones we heard at the beginning of the show. I tried it years and years ago, and then I went into one of the toughest times of my life, a not-fun divorce, and it was amazing to me how much stuff rolled off my back that I know my former self would have really gotten aggravated with. It was a bit of a almost odd. There were times where things would happen and I would think to myself, why am I not really angry about this? Like, I know this is the kind of thing that should really set me off, but it's not bothering me that much, to the point it almost kind of worried me. What's wrong with me? Am I in denial? But meditation is certainly one good way to address that. We're going to get into in a second intermittent fasting, too. There's some mental benefits to that. And I'm telling you, I'm watching and have been for a couple of years now watching what I think is a mass mental breakdown of the American people. It's largely based on politics, but not just political office politics, but identity politics and people always wanting to be offended and people always wanting to be angry and always want to lash out when somebody says something you don't like, or a lot of snowflake anxiety out there. There's just a whole lot of, I'm just watching America. We just don't seem like we've got our stuff together right now. So I encourage people to find ways, and there's nutrition. Nutrition plays a part in that, which I'll do in just a second. And the other is social media. Maybe take a break from social media. I know I'm curious about what goes on today and in the next couple of days when it comes to the election. I'm not going to look at social media for it, I can guarantee you of that, because I don't need to be in a bubble where everybody's firing each other up. There was a story out, a study that came out not long ago. Psychologist Gene Twenge has been writing for several years about the impact of smartphones and social media on the mental health of young Americans. She just had new data out. This was late October this year. Said depression among U.S. teen girls doubled from 2009 to 2019. It was up 74% among teen boys, according to just released data from the government-administered National Survey of Drug Use and Health. And this is what we're doing to our children. We are agitating our children. We are depressing our children. And the smartphones and social media are exacerbating the situation. So we need to pay attention to our kids, too. They're, you know, it's kind of like anything else. I did not experience this. I did not grow up in an abusive household. I had very good parents. I didn't like them all the time, but looking back, they did a great job, did the best they could do with me, and were certainly good to me. But you hear about kids that are in abusive homes, and they just feel and sense that negativity, and they internalize it. And it, you know, that can be the same even with politics. If you're running around the house and ranting and raving and calling people liars and calling people names and saying they stole it, or Trump won and he's going to destroy the whole country, or the planet's going to end in 10 years if we don't address global warming. All of these things are basically forms of some level of child abuse. And we're getting our kids, they sense this anxiety and this agitation, and it's bleeding over to them. So I encourage people to maybe pay attention to that as well. Intermittent fasting is something I've talked about before, but I ran across this video that talks about some of the mental effects of it too, and I thought maybe I'll kind of sneak that in here too. This is such an easy strategy, as far as I'm concerned, for addressing weight issues, weight management issues. So I would say it's something you should consider. But then I heard them talking about this as far as the mental aspects of it, and I thought it'd be a good time to put it into this. This is Dr. Ken Berry.
Contents of the stomach.
Well, let me figure out what it is that is playing constantly here in the background. Again, all right, Dr. Ken Berry talking about intermittent fasting. And intermittent fasting, he may explain it in here, is a little bit about keeping your eating window within a certain portion of the day, not eating constantly. If you stop and think about us as biological animals and what we came from, we're really only probably maybe even 100 years into the idea that if we feel like eating, we can go pick out something that we want to eat at that moment, right? I mean, we've lived for tens of thousands of years eating when food was available and to get the nutrition we needed to make it to the next day. Now we're all about flavors and convenience, and we can have this for breakfast and then a snack and then lunch and then another snack. And then, you know, this is really new in human biology. More way it was for the longest time is when you had food, you ate so that you could make it to the next day. It wasn't all about taste and nutrition. People tried to make food taste good, but it wasn't you didn't have a refrigerator you went to and just grabbed something real quick because you were a little bored. The idea with intermittent fasting is you give yourself like a 6 or 8 hour window during some portion of the day, and you eat then, and then you give your body a chance to digest and burn fat the rest of the day. So that's the kind of the concept behind intermittent fasting. And when you get into it, it's really very simple.
Now let's jump into the 5 amazing intermittent fasting benefits. And the last one's really amazing. You're not going to believe it. So number 1 is Intermittent fasting helps you with increased fat burning. So a lot of gurus out there will tell you that if you don't eat every 2 hours, that your body will immediately start to digest and break down your muscles and your liver and even your eyeballs, that you have to eat constantly or this will start happening. Good news. Your body is much wiser than this. Your body is a very ancient machine. It's stored fat on your body for a reason. And when you don't eat, that's what your body reaches for, is the stored fat, which is stored energy. You're not going to digest your muscles or your liver or your eyeballs or any other important body part. Your body's way smarter than that. It's going to help you burn fat much faster when you start intermittent fasting.
That's interesting to me, because this is one of those things that has been, I don't know if it would be considered a fad, but it's been advice for the longest time. Keep your metabolism high by eating every couple of hours, small meals every 2 hours. And when you really do kind of stop and think about that, and think about us as human beings, before the advent of the refrigerator and the pantry and the drive-thru and the grocery store, and again, we've only had these things for 100 years. I mean, you might have had a grocery store back in the 1800s, but you couldn't just run over there real quick and grab something. It was one of those things where you loaded into the cover wagon and you went once a week to get your provisions, but you didn't have an around-the-corner dollar store that had all the bags of goodies. If you just think about that, as human beings that lived for tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years never having those things, why would it suddenly be so important to constantly eat during the day? And you'll notice with advice like that, and diet sodas, and low-fat diets, we have gotten fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. It's undoing the nutritional advice of the last 30 years that's so important.
Number two, intermittent fasting is going to help your body to reduce chronic inappropriate inflammation. This chronic inflammation can lead to hundreds of chronic diseases. And by intermittent fasting regularly, you're going to reduce that chronic inappropriate inflammation. Now, if you have acute inflammation like a sprained ankle or an infected toenail, that inflammatory process is going to continue because that's a good inflammatory process. What I'm talking about here is the chronic inflammation that doesn't do you any good at all and probably hurts your health in the long run. The number three thing that intermittent fasting is going to do for you is it's going to slow down hundreds of chronic diseases that you may be suffering from. These diseases may be diagnosed or they may be undiagnosed. You may not even know you have them. There's even some research in animals that shows that intermittent fasting can slow down the growth and spread of cancer. Number four, improved brain function. When you intermittent fast, you actually decrease inflammation like we talked about previously, and this inflammation is more and more being implicated in chronic medical conditions like depression, anxiety, OCD, and other things. And so decreasing that inflammation is going to help with your brain function. Intermittent fasting also increases the amount of a protein called brain-derived neurotrophic factor in your brain. Now, this is a very powerful protein that works in your brain. Not only it helps to optimize existing neuron function, but it also tells your brain to replace old worn-out neurons and replace them with new neurons. BDNF actually encourages this new neuron growth. It also helps in the formation of new synapses, which are basically the little junction boxes where one neuron connects and communicates with another neuron. The more synapses you have, the faster your brain works. And number five, intermittent fasting can actually cause life extension. There's tons of research in every animal. Every animal we've ever researched, from flatworms to fruit flies to dogs, their lifespan is actually increased anywhere from 10% up to 80% by intermittent fasting. That's very, very powerful. Now, these studies haven't been done in humans yet because it's kind of hard to lock a human in a room and not feed them. There are actually laws and statutes against that. So we can't do that experiment in humans, but every single animal, all the way from the tiniest single-celled organisms all the way up to advanced creatures like dogs and monkeys, when you intermittent fast them, they live longer. The life extension community has actually been aware of this effect of intermittent fasting for decades, and many people in the life extension community practice intermittent fasting for just this benefit. Now, there are many, many common mistakes people make when they start fasting, and I've got a video about those common mistakes. You can click it right here. There are many, many more benefits of intermittent fasting than I talk about in this video. I've got a video about that. It'll pop up right here. You can click on that and watch when this video is done. Fasting is much easier with a friend or a loved one, and so you're encouraged to share this video so that your friend or family member can say, hey, that sounds really interesting.
So, yeah, there's some downsides to video in an audio format, but that's Dr. Ken Berry. You can find him. He's got a ton of, he's got a YouTube channel. He's got tons of videos on there to get you started, how to do intermittent fasting. Just to be clear, people hear the word fasting and they think, how long have I got to go? How many days do I have to go without eating? Those fasting people, they're weird. You know, I do a water fast once or twice a year, usually 5 to 7 days, and people think I'm nutso, but I find it intellectually interesting and mentally challenging, and it seems to have done well for my health. But intermittent fasting is you eat every day. You just put all of your eating into a certain window. Mine is between 2 p.m. If I happen to get hungry a little bit after lunch, I may have something, and then I eat a dinner, and then I really don't eat after 8 o'clock. So I've got about 6 hours a day that I eat. It means I don't eat many breakfasts. Sometimes on the weekends I will. I'll break out of it. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't do anything. Nothing wrong with that to get 3 eggs in me in a, on a Saturday or Sunday morning or something. But most days I eat between 2 and 8 o'clock at night. So I keep my eating within about 6 hours. And it's very interesting. If you're a little lazy about cleaning up your diet and getting all the exercise you want and really eating good food, intermittent fasting also fixes a lot of dietary mistakes. If you want to manage your weight, you can do intermittent fasting and you can kind of eat what you want. Your health's going to be better if you eat organic foods and real foods and get some of the chemicals and those kinds of things out of your system. But as far as your weight management goes, if you're keeping your eating within just about 6 hours, people can also do within 8 hours. So you could be noon. You could have a lunch at noon and eat a dinner at 7 and be done by 8 o'clock. And that's intermittent fasting if you don't eat the rest of the day too. You'll find you're not hungry, but there's a lot of things out there that say you can kind of eat whatever you want, even if you want to eat higher in carbohydrates than some other people. The intermittent fasting does the weight management for you. So it's incredibly easy, I believe. I think ketogenic diet is very easy. Once you transition to it, first few days, a little difficult. Intermittent fasting is something you could start doing tomorrow, and you really probably wouldn't miss a beat. You'll find if you might be really hungry for breakfast. I know a lot of people that don't eat breakfast. I like the fact that I don't have to eat breakfast because it takes time and I'm not really hungry in the morning. I spent years kind of forcing myself to eat 3 meals a day because that was good for my metabolism. When I skipped out of breakfast, I actually started to feel better. My weight was much easier to manage. Just had a whole lot of benefits to me. So anyway, intermittent fasting, you can look it up. There's a million things online, ways to get started, strategies for it, what the benefits are. And as I say, I think it's very easy and kind of a lazy person's way to start getting your health in check. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Falling. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday, so we do Hump Day Health. You know, I don't think I did my disclaimer today. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not an immunologist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a nothing. I've got no certifications to advise you on your health. I just give you some topics to look around. There's a lot of people out there that realize that maybe your life, maybe you're suffering from some conditions you shouldn't be, and you're kind of interested, and you've tried all the pharmaceuticals. It just doesn't seem to be making you happy or healthy. So you're looking for a nutritional strategy, something different to try. And so I try to bring you to some of those topics and talk a little bit today about COVID. Now, we're going to see. The idea has been that after the election that COVID was going to go away as an issue. I don't believe it's going to. It is kind of funny, though, I will admit. They're not talking about it at all today, are they? But it's because it's buried in the election headlines. I do not believe we are done with the hysteria surrounding COVID-19. I believe there is a grander plan, a profitable plan for many people around COVID that is not played out yet, including the Build Back Better and the Great Reset that they are trying to foist upon the entire planet. So we're going to see. But for us out here that want to protect ourselves not only from COVID, but the flus and colds and all kinds of other things, there are just some amazing statistics out there. A study of 216 COVID-19 hospitalized patients in Spain showed that 82% who were not already taking a vitamin D supplement were deficient in vitamin D. The deficiency was especially pronounced in men. Studies authors noted that patients who had been taking supplements prior to admission, quote, had slightly more favorable outcomes than those who did not take supplements. The study also noted that there is, quote, compelling evidence, unquote, for an association between low vitamin D levels and HIV, hepatitis C, and influenza. This is what the study said here. While the research reported a higher prevalence of vitamin D deficiency in hospitalized COVID-19 patients compared to the control group, they did not find an association between vitamin D levels and the severity of the disease, and they need to do more study on that. There have been studies from all over the world that have shown that people who were hospitalized were typically chronically low in vitamin D, and unfortunately, 75% of the country in the United States has a vitamin D deficiency. These are the numbers. This is because they've told us to run away from the sun for the last 30 years, that the sun was an evil orange orb sent out to destroy us all on planet Earth, which makes no logical sense, but yet it has been what we've been told. And I think that's that and staying inside on computers and not being outside like we used to has resulted in vitamin D deficiency. They don't talk about this at all anywhere, rarely ever. Anthony Fauci actually did mention it. I think he was asked specifically about it, and he did say that having a vitamin D supplement or getting vitamin D was a positive, but he certainly hasn't made it part of his protocol. His protocol doesn't seem to revolve around $5 a month vitamin D supplementation or free exposure to the sun. It seems to revolve around drugs that cost $3,000 a dose, and you need to get 5 doses of it, like remdesivir. Funny how that works. There's not a big vitamin D lobby in Washington, D.C. driving policy. A guy named Chris Martinson wrote this, and I agree with this. He says, you live in a system whose managers either are too dumb to understand the vitamin D data, very unlikely, or have decided that they'd rather just not promote it to the general populace for some reason. It's a ridiculously safe vitamin with almost zero downside and virtually unlimited upside. Either they're colossally dumb, or this is a calculated decision. They're not dumb, so we have to ask, what's the calculation being performed here? It's not public safety. It's not your personal health. So what is it? The silence around vitamin D alone is extremely telling. It is the pharmacological dog that did not bark. One true inference suggests others. Here, too, we can deduce from the near total silence around vitamin D that the health managers would prefer not to talk about it. They don't want people to know. That much is painfully clear. Such lack of promotion, let alone appropriate study of safe, effective treatments, is a thread that, if tugged, can unravel the whole rug. The silence tells us everything we need to know. Do they want people to suffer and die? I don't know. My belief system certainly hope not. Perhaps the death and suffering are merely collateral damage as they pursue a different goal, money, power, and politics. And boy, I can't agree more. The silence on vitamin D, and this is across the board again, I really am repeating this statistic a lot, but they've done these studies on vitamin D that shows women with proper vitamin D levels over 60 nanograms per milliliter, I believe that's the way it's said. Good, strong vitamin D levels have an 80% reduced risk of breast cancer, yet it wasn't talked about all during Breast Cancer Awareness Month last month. The silence on vitamin D is just staggering, and I've said before I almost need to call this show the Vitamin D Show. I talk about it so much, but it's just such a simple thing. Even the gel caps. If you go out and get a good quality vitamin D, get a good quality one. Go to a health food store. Get their advice on a good brand. Don't go to the big box stores and buy the cheapest vitamin D you can, because if you want to, you can probably find it for about $2.50 out there somewhere. Get a good quality so that you know that it's actually effective and it's got the right oils in it so that it's absorbed. I believe vitamin D is fat soluble, so you need to eat it with some fat. But if you do it right, it's about $5 a month. And if you want to skip that, don't want to spend the $5, and you want to just sit outside today on this beautiful day for 20 to 30 minutes with your face pointing towards the sun and your arms exposed, you can boost your vitamin D levels and be wildly more healthy than you were if you make that a regular habit. So the silence on vitamin D is absolutely deafening as far as I'm concerned. And as long as I've got this show going, I'm not going to let it go unsaid on this show. We'll come back in just a second. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment here on Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I wanted to make another comment about Mississippi. We took some strides yesterday to give people access to another medical use of a plant here in Mississippi. I think that's a great thing. It will help a lot of people. There's a lot of good doctors in Mississippi. We have got a great children's hospital. I talked a lot about they built a new wing. It's beautiful. It'll be great for a lot of families with kids that are suffering. I hope they're doing some research into why our kids are getting sick, why so many young kids are getting cancer. That did not used to be the case. They're certainly getting better at treating it, and they help a lot of kids that parents think they might lose. They get to keep their kids. And so just absolutely heroic, tremendous work at places like UMC, Blary, Badson, and Shriners, and St. Jude's for kids. And there's just wonderful doctors out there. As far as the top of the heap in the state of Mississippi, they just tried to battle State Department of Health under Thomas Dobbs' stewardship, tried to stop people from getting access to medical marijuana. They have also stood in the way of Mississippi being able to have naturopathic doctors here, doctors that treat a lot of conditions with food and nutrition, plants, herbs, things like that. It's just another one of those cases where I really feel like we're treated like children here in Mississippi. We're told we have to take all the shots, just shut up and take the shot, or your kids can't go to school. You don't need to know what's in it. You don't need to know the side effects. We'll tell you how many you need to take, when you need to take them. If you're not in compliance, you don't get access to the schools. You still got to pay your taxes to support the schools, but your kid can't go to them. They've told us for so long, you can't have medical marijuana. It hasn't been studied yet. All these other things. We leapfrogged over that. But they also say, and it feels to me almost like they don't want to compete with doctors that might turn primarily to nutrition. And a lot of naturopathic doctors and some integrative health practitioners are in Mississippi. They're the closest we can get. But in other states, you can actually go to a naturopathic doctor And they will put you on a nutrition plan. They'll do some testing. They'll try to figure out what's wrong with you and try to address it nutritionally. This is another thing Mississippi needs to address. I believe they just don't want the competition. To be quite frank, I believe it is a business decision, not this idea that, well, people will just, a bunch of quacks will come here with a bunch of, you know, you'll have to sit in a triangle and they'll tell you to give you a mantra and a clove of garlic and tell you you're healed. I mean, there are charlatans and all kinds, there are bad doctors out there. But Mississippi needs to address this naturopathic medicine as well. We should have access to that. You should be given a choice. Again, this is a free country. People are adults. They should be able to seek their own care. Just a little bit of something on my soapbox. All right, we're going to finish up today with our buddy Dr. Berg. Let's talk about, for you guys out there, the enlarged prostate. As a middle-aged man myself, this is something I need to be on guard for. Prostate is an issue I do not want to have. There are surgeries out there that can go not so great for people, definitely alter your life. So if you're concerned about your prostate, your husband is, your father is, somebody's getting to that age like me, then this is something you might want to share with them. You can always get my show notes, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, or just look for Eric Berg, Dr. Eric Berg, how to fix enlarged prostate.
All right, guys, we're going to talk about the prostate. There's a lot of false information about prostate. Number one, this theory out there that they say that too much testosterone, especially the most powerful type of testosterone, which is DHT, causes an enlarged prostate. Well, if that was true, then why is it that certain doctors use DHT as a therapy to shrink the prostate? It's not true that too much testosterone causes enlargement of the prostate, simply because as you age, testosterone goes down. So why would you have an enlarged prostate if you get older? It's basically the estrogen. Testosterone and estrogen work together. When you lower testosterone, you raise estrogen. Estrogen is an anabolic hormone. It makes things enlarge. In a female, it will make a fibroid, a tumor. Okay? In a male body, it will enlarge the prostate. So if you have prostate enlargement, it's because you have too much estrogen.
It also, too much estrogen in men gives you the man boobs, I believe. I'm always on the, I'm trying to fight moobs out there. I'll give you a heads up on that. If you're jiggling around when you jog these days, might want to check your estrogen levels.
Now, where does this estrogen come from? Well, first of all, your body can make it or it can come from the foods that you eat. The glands that make estrogen in a male body are the adrenal glands. So there's also your own fat can make estrogen. So the fatter you are, the more estrogen you can have.
Moobs!
And so we must reduce estrogen. Okay, a couple ways to do it is avoid food that has estrogen in it. You have hormone-free meats, all the GMO foods, genetically modified, soy, corn, beet sugar that are in the grocery store that are not labeled. They are very estrogenic because they're loaded with a pesticide that mimics estrogen. So unless you're doing organic food, you're getting a lot of GMO food, which is then going to increase estrogen amounts. Now, estrogen, it causes cancer. It causes prostate cancer. It causes cancer of the cervix in females and breast tissue and thyroid cancer. It's pretty nasty. So luckily, there are foods that naturally detoxify things that turn into cancer and estrogen itself. And it's called cruciferous foods. That would be like the kale, the broccoli, the Brussels sprouts, the cabbage, the radish, the arugula. You need to start eating those, okay? If you have a hard time eating those, do regular vegetables and you can enhance it with like a cruciferous concentrate. Okay, you can use that as well. And this has all the cruciferous with some other ones, but if you have a prostate problem, I would take probably 6 of these a day, okay? So that's one thing you can do. The other thing you can do is take sea kelp in the morning. Take one tablet. Sea kelp will also reduce estrogen. It's really good for the thyroid, too, and it's good for if you have cold feet. Okay, so number two, reduce aromatase. What is aromatase? That is an enzyme that's made by your body that converts the testosterone that you have left in the estrogen. Great. So that's another thing that's happening too, is that we're actually converting testosterone, making our bodies are making more estrogen. That's crazy. So having a lot of estrogen is very carcinogenic. It's going to increase your risk factors for cancer. So there are even medications that are aromatase inhibitors, okay, to fix cancer or to kill cancer. But you want to use the natural things that are aromatase inhibitors. And the best one that I know of is stinging nettle root. Stinging nettle root is a great plant or a root that you can get as a tablet form, and you want to actually double the dosage. It's great also as an anti-inflammatory. It's great to prevent hair loss. So this is like an awesome thing for the prostate. I consider it better than some of the salt palmetto stuff that you would get in some of the supplements. But if you have prostate, this is the one you need to get, and then you'll start noticing some really good changes. Okay? If you get up to pee at night, that should improve with the insulin correction as well, because that's really one of the side effects from insulin is excessive urination at night. So as you fix blood sugars, you also pee less. So it may come from prostate enlargement, or it could come from the blood sugar issues. Okay? Hope this helped.
So there you go. Thus, raised fist in the air to us middle-aged men out there that have to suddenly start paying attention to our prostates. It's a hell of a thing when you as you get older and the things you have to start paying attention to that I certainly didn't worry about 10 years ago or didn't even think about, but a lot of that is just my paying attention to health issues in the first place. But I certainly, you know, when it comes to prostate stuff, I've heard nightmare stories of those that have gone before me who have had to have the surgeries, and that changes a lot of things. Particularly, my understanding is many people sacrifice naughty time with their spouses when they have the surgery. So I'll want to avoid that at all costs, and there's natural methods to do that. So research that yourself. That's all the time I got today. Hope you have a great day. Stay mentally sane out there. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.